Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Winning Plays Podcast on the CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider for the NBA's winningest franchise.
Winning Plays Podcast, back yet again, and we have a Game 7, boys and girls. The Celtics will be heading back to Boston after pulling out a 95-86 win. My name is Brian Robb. I'm in Philadelphia. I'm joined by Sweetie Tirada of MassLive.com, who is also in Philadelphia, fresh off the Celtics pulling out a win out of their, pretty much out of their ass at this point. But this is, we have a lot to get into here, Suichi. A lot of storylines from this game. But we have to start with Jason Tatum, obviously, coming off the top with 16 points in the final 4 minutes of that game to pretty much get to the Celtics to the finish line there. What stood out to you most about his night and what happened there down the stretch?
Bierop, I think we should mention that he did so humbly. Everything he did so humbly yeah. today. I didn't realize this, Bierop, but on the way on the Uber back home, Jason, 16 points, as you said, he outscored the entire Sixers team 16-13 in that fourth quarter. Like, that's insane to me. Like, especially with the way, you know, he was going. And there was like some stat basically. I probably should have had it ready, but it was like the first Celtic ever to like score three or less points or something and so outscore the entire opponent in the fourth quarter. And so, one, I was, you know, I think I remember at like the 5 minute mark, I was just taking notes and I was like, Rob, you were there. Like, Wells Fargo today was awesome. You know, the crowd was awesome. It was like this hostile atmosphere. Like, you could feel the tension in the air. It's like one of the, you know, one of the best things about playoff basketball. And I remember being like, who's going to step up at this point, right? Because like Marcus can only do so much. And I'm sure we'll talk about Marcus more. I thought he was the MVP tonight. He played awesome. But I was like, who's it going to be today? And it was Jason Tatum, right? And I just think, you know, I think I tweeted like each one of those three-pointers was just cold. It was just ice cold. Like he stepped up in a way I don't think anybody expected him to. He kind of saved his legacy. You know, not like long-term legacy or anything, but I think he saved himself and the Celtics from just this like very negative narrative all season. Because if they had lost B-Rob in the way Jason played, can you imagine the outside noise? We're not even talking just Jason. We're going to be talking about like, we would be talking about Jalen, all NBA. Is he going to be here in Boston long-term? We're going to be talking about the core. We're going to be talking about Joe Mazzulla. We're going to be talking about, can Jason Tatum be the number one option? And all these things. But he saved himself and the Celtics, and in some way, the fans, from all of that. So it was just a performance for the ages in the last 4 minutes. It was not the 46-point game from last year, or however many it was. But I think Celtics fans can appreciate that one.
Yeah, there's no question. The toxic storylines would have been through the roof after if things did not they did not right the ship midway through the fourth quarter there. But yeah, it was, I think, to your point on Smart, I think that's the MVP of this game. Like he kind of I mean we were talking about out of the way out of the arena. I think that was probably his best playoff game ever. I mean, he's sure he's had better box score lines in a playoff game, but in terms of what he did from a defensive impact perspective, the big shots he made, just making right decisions. There were no shots where you're like, no, Marcus. There was like none of that in this game. He was the one who was kind of steadied the ship throughout. He had a couple, you know, iffy turnovers in the fourth quarter, but that, you know, that's just, those are going to happen. But everything else he did in this game, and the Celtics needed all of it to kind of survive this all. And I think what also, not just him, but the entire starting five looked kind of rejuvenated with Rob Williams back in the folders. That was the big chess move there. Clearly everyone was excited by it. From talking about the game. And I don't know, Thuji, like, do you think just doing that, like, is just, did that just give this team like a burst of energy just to have like Rob, which is kind of ridiculous, but I guess that they love him that much that it could be the case.
Yeah. And I thought, right, Rob also needed to step up today, and I thought he did so, and he was a clear game changer right from the beginning. One quick thing I want to add about Marcus is, like, I thought, because he hit Rob for like three or four lobs, you know, not all of them work. The one where he basically, like, he hit the rim on a lot, and we were like, oh, what was that, you know? So that was a little bit weird, but I thought that was, like, really important just to keep the 76ers on their toes, like, hey, like, Rob can still go up and get it, and I thought that kind of changed things going from there. In terms of Rob, like you said, B-Rob, like, everyone, you know, was super happy about it. I think that was like the big switch we saw. And it was, you know, it felt a lot more calculated because it was the double big lineup compared to, hey, stay throwing in Peyton Pritchard in game five and seeing what we got to work with here in the second half. I thought it was twofold. Like, Rob needed to show up, but at the same time, like, you could tell, like you said, they were rejuvenated. And, you know, I was joking about it with whoever was sitting near me, like, who would have thought the juggernaut, you know, double big lineup that worked so well last year could work well again. And you know, it was a fair question, right? I think it was the same 76ers team, I believe, right after the All-Star break in February. Like, they kind of, like, neutralized that double big lineup. So going into the game, I was a little bit skeptical, just because they just hadn't played that much this season. It wasn't necessarily the greatest when it did play, but they stepped up. I thought it kind of changed the intensity of the game, especially, right? You know, holding a team to 86 points, that takes hard work. You know, they don't, I think I was shocked when I was writing, you know, kind of rewriting my game story after the game, but Sixers only scored 3 points in the last 5:57 of the game after the Maxi weird free throw stuff. And the lone field goal was, you know, in garbage time. Yeah, the fact that there was a garbage time in this game is also weird, B-Rob. But if the Celtics can get this Rob game in and game out and have him be a contributor, I think, you know, that's just another wrinkle, one of the many multiple identities Joe Mazzulla said. So I thought, but clearly the players loved it, and I think the fans can love that a little bit more too, just because Rob is adds such a different element to this group.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, he finished 10 points, 9 rebounds, 28 minutes, team high, plus 18 in those 28 minutes. Yeah, I honestly, like, I mean, I talked to Fryan before game six, and we both wanted them to lean into more offensive looks. Because you can go two ways here, obviously. You go the defensive heavy, and that's, you move Robin to the starting five. But to your point, like, that wasn't a group that necessarily we hadn't seen them flashback to what they were last year during this regular season. So this was a gamble. But with that said, that was something where they pretty much hadn't tried it at all in this series. And so no doubt you're like, you're going to see what it looked like and coming out of the gate with it make a strong case for that, because, you know, PJ Tucker's going to be on the floor, and that's where you can hide Rob. And there was a bit of a chess match, a cat and mouse game between Joe Mazzulla and Doc Rivers in the fourth quarter when Tucker came on and off the floor, and Rob pretty much followed him on and off there too. But it's a situation where I just didn't know this team had this level of defense in it. And you give the defense a lot of credit. This is also a huge choke job by the Sixers. Let's, like, not, like, Vince Carter, like, they were in position to take this game. The Celtics were trying to give them this game pretty much the entire second half before Tatum caught fire late, and they did not want it. And so how do you divvy that up? How much credit are you giving the Celtics here versus James Harden kind of showing his true colors and the Sixers supporting cast kind of falling on its face?
Yeah, 4-for-16 from Harden is 5 turnovers, you know, 9 assists, I guess. But yeah, I think you have to give the Celtics credit, though, in the sense of, like, I thought it's important that they finish it off in the terms of, like, grinding them down, right? Because the Sixers, to be fair, scored 30 points in the third quarter. It looked like they were rolling. But I think the fact that they finish it off like that, like, sure, you know, like you said, like the Sixers absolutely choked down that line. But like realistically speaking, like I personally thought that the fact that Jason Tatum was 1 for 14, which like, let's be real, like how many times is that going to happen in his career? And it was still like they're still training buckets in the fourth quarter. I thought if you're a Sixers fan, like you were just hoping that Jason didn't catch fire and he ended up doing so. So in terms of divvy up credit though, I don't know, like maybe like 60-40. Like I thought the Celtics played pretty well, but sounds at the same right. time, like, you know, the Sixers did, you know, kind of shoot themselves in the foot a few times. But we'll see if that continues. I think it kind of felt like a desperation move, right, B-Rob? Like you're facing an elimination game on the road, hostile environment. You played so horribly in game 5, but it worked. And I think you have to, you know, as much criticism as Joe gets, you have to give him his credit here because he did push the right buttons.
Well, I think what ultimately the move did more than anything else was like it allowed Al Horford to be a lot more aggressive defensively of Embiid. And I think from a strategic defense standpoint, like who are you more worried about going into this game, Embiid or Harden? And I think the Celtics probably made the wise choice here that like at home into like, who are you more scared of? You're more scared of Embiid right now. Like Harden's had big games in the series, but he's also had absolute clunkers, and they locked in well on Harden this game. But by Al really knowing that Rob was back there and ready to help when, you know, on those drives to the rim, I think that led to a lot of steals. That led to a lot of, you know, good contests there. Embiid never really got a great rhythm in this game, never got to the free throw line a ton in this game. And it was an efficient night for him, 26 points, 10 rebounds, 9 of 19 shooting, but ultimately, like, it never felt like he took over the game at any point there. And so that really opened the door for the fact that the Sixers supporting cast were going to have to get them there, and they weren't up to the task.
Yeah, and I think it's important not to lose sight of the fact that the Sixers missed a lot of open shots, and they only shot 23.5% from three. Red Celtics finished 42.9. Actually, the one thing I do want to say, B-Rob, I don't have like the exact most efficient numbers, but the Celtics started something like 9 for 12 from three, right? And I believe they were like 11 for 29 at one point. So they went like they had a pretty long stretch there.
It was rough.
The 2 for 19. Yeah. So that was like, ooh, I don't know about this. Obviously, there was those percentage points as one up once Jason started hitting some. He did finish 4 for 11 from three. But I just thought like defensively, we have heard this over and over, and I think it was more last year, right? Like just the comfort the guys on the perimeter are getting when they know Rob is like roaming back there and he's like the second line of defense, right? And you know, that's kind of a double-edged sword, right? Throughout the regular season, we talked about it. It's like, you know, Rob is back there, so maybe you're not playing as hard because you know Rob will clean up some of those mistakes. But like when you can play aggressively, like you mentioned, like with Al on Embiid and other guys too, right? We saw right off the gate, like there were a few times, I think it was like Maxey or someone, he was right near the rim trying to attack, but then they saw Rob. Like Rob just has that presence. So I think it's just one of those factors where maybe subconsciously it does affect how you play on the perimeter. And we saw that get gashed a little bit in game 5. So I think all good things. I don't know how the 76ers adjust from here, but if you're a Celtics fan, obviously you're feeling pretty good going into game 7, much like last year against Milwaukee.
Yeah, I mean, when you survive a 5 for 21 night for Tatum, and you're going back to your home court, you're obviously feeling good. Al Horford, obviously, he had a great defense night, but only 1 of 5. You got nothing from him offensively as well. You got great nights from Marcus. You got a great night from Malcolm Brogdon. The 4 turnovers, I mean, turnovers were a huge problem all night, but he hit his 3s early. Derek White hit his 3s early. Like, those guards really, you know, built that lead and got them, you know, and did a pretty good defensive job on Harden and even Maxey. Maxey had a pretty good night overall, but you know, he never got fully cut loose. But you're right. Like what do you do if you're Doc Rivers right now going back here? He played, you know, 9 guys off the bench, real minutes. McDaniels is still not playing. Daniel House, you know, you didn't get the huge big night from a random guy on the bench this time. And I think expecting that in game 7, it's just like it's you're on thin ice if you're the Sixers here.
Yeah, I mean, for example, like Melton went 0-5 over from 3. Remember how he lit up game 1 in the first half? And we were like, oh, okay, this is a I think that was right when you were like, oh, this might be a much longer series if they're going to keep shooting like that. And I don't know, B-Rob, I like the, obviously, the Niang for Tucker kind of adjustment worked for a little bit there. But, like,
right.
Hey, I just, like you said, like, you need that kind of random game, I feel like. Like, Daniel House was obviously awesome last game in game five, but that he, you know, he only played 7.5 minutes, and you're kind of like, okay, he doesn't have as much juice as you expect. So I think it's like you just need, like, a better knife from, like, Tobias or someone. I do want to...
I realize how bad he was. Yeah. One of seven.
I don't know. Tobias is one of those guys. Like, he's obviously going to, like, add a little bit, but I feel like he's just been kind of – he's felt a little bit more invisible this series than I expected in that regard. So, but I – you know, like, you – you know, I just want to say, like, Maxi has been way more impressive this series to me, and I hear he's a great guy from a few Sixers writers, so I like that. But
yep.
I thought this was kind of a matchup, like, nightmare for him, just, like – because obviously he's a very quick guy, but, like – you know, against the Celtics earlier this season, like, he struggled against some of these beefier guards, but he's been able to use that speed while, you know, he had that wide open dunk, I think, like, midway through the third quarter, when I was like, oh, okay, Celtics might be in trouble here. So it obviously worked out, but like you said, I don't know what adjustments you make if you're the Sixers. And to be fair, Doc, I think, hasn't been doing, like, a terrible, terrible job this series. But we'll see if he has any last picks up his sleeve. And I think that's, like, a luxury for the Celtics, right? Like, remember last season, we were talking during the finals, I remember, and we were like, what adjustment does Ime make here? And I think it was something like play Peyton Pritchard a little bit more, and he kind of ended up doing that in, like, game, I want to say, like, six or something. You know, that's a luxury for the Celtics. Like, you know, you're only going seven deep, but when you can put out a guy like Rob and he can make that kind of impact, like, once again, it comes back to the fact that this is a very talented roster. It's a very deep roster, and when you can have those options, right? Like, we always say, it's all about matchups. Like, maybe Rob isn't, you know, maybe you can throw Rob out there and he can contribute. So it's just one of those things where you're like, okay, you feel good going into game seven. But as we talked about B-Rob, like, you never know. You never know with this team, I feel like, right? We said the same thing in game five.
Can't rule anything out for this group. It will be interesting. Like, when you go back to game seven at home now, the seven man rotation work tonight makes complete sense, because mm-hmm. that those are your clearly your seven best players, and you're going against in a hostile environment with the shift in your starting five, so they rolled with that. But I do wonder, on the friendlier home floor, if, like, if Joe does go deeper into his bench, because mm-hmm. for that game, for an energy lift, I mean, that's going to be a totally feel thing for him. But mm-hmm. for you know, he's taken his lumps in this series, rightfully so, as Marcus Smart put it. But I think he managed this game well. I think game six, you know, the offense was a mess for the final three quarters, but I don't think that's on him. I think he made the calculated effort to be like, we're going to win this game with defense, and he played the right cards late to do it. And I think he played the right substitution game in the fourth quarter too, to, you know, not stick with Rob out there when Yang was out there, and just kind of, you know, let Doc pick his poison there, and like the matchup either way for lineup wise, whether it was Brogdon or him in there late with the rest of that lineup.
Mm-hmm. And once again, if Jason Tatum has even like a bad Jason Tatum game, I think this wasn't maybe as close as it was in the fourth quarter. So
right. Is James Harden going to 4 of 16 again? You're like, oh, well, actually, it's like a 50-50 chance he will, based on all this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, 2 and 3, he sucked. Game six, he sucked, you know.
But he's probably going to need 40. He's probably going to need 40 in game seven for him to do it. But he could, I mean, again, he could do it. Embiid can obviously do it.
B-Rob, obviously, you and I are very happy about 2 days off, Friday and Saturday here. So I'm sure the players are also happy to get an extra night's worth of sleep before game seven. So
they really do. All right, well, we'll be back after that one to react on Sunday night. We don't even know the game time yet. It's either gonna be 3:30, 8 o'clock, based on what happens in this Warriors Lakers game on Friday night. But Suichi and I will be all over it at masslive.com. Make sure you are following Suichi on Twitter as well, at Suichi Tirada. And yeah, we'll wrap up here. What's the prediction here? Are we going to Miami or New York, Suichi, or is this right end?
I think so. I was very wrong about today, though. I thought the Celtics were in a blowout, just because that's kind of the team they are. I guess 9-point game with the Sixers only score 86 is a little bit mid-2000s, so who knows? It's not 9 points in the current NBA landscape, so we'll say I was half correct. But I do think the Celtics will win game seven.
I'll be heavily favored to do so. And yeah, well, it should be, it'll be a fun ride either way. But meantime, thanks for listening. And thanks to Suichi for hopping on. And we'll be back again one way or another as we get our first Game 7 of the Celtics season. Stay tuned.